beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent.
We've all had that person we've given our number to, and within seconds, we're like, oh, dang it. What was I thinking? Make sure you're not that annoying dude. And what's up with those friends that make plans to you like, oh my God, I'm gonna be in town tomorrow. Let's hang out. Tomorrow comes and I don't hear Jack or Jill. Then I look at Snapchat and you chilling with Homer Simpson up in Universal. And look at Instagram and you running from baby dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. This is not a game. And one more thing that just is when you text somebody and they hit you with the I or the R. And then they go and text back in the group chat that you're in. I love when they realize, like, oh crap, you're in here too. And then they go and text you back right after they text the group. Hey girl, I don't got time for your nonsense. I already deleted you off my MySpace top 8.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of date is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. What's going on with my voice? Dubious Intent is brought to you by the Sword of Omens. The blade of the Sword of Omens can extend or retract, being in the form of a dagger when resting, and a full-length broadsword form when it's at full strength and power. Check them out on the web at swordofomens.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI for a lying discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Sword of Omens free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Ooh, that was a close one. I just realized I didn't have one of my laptops hooked into the audio, and I would have like clicked on a birthday song later and you would have heard nothing. That may still happen because now I haven't had a chance to test it, but I was like running around the console here, like trying to find a cord and plug it in.
And see, that's what I heard. Something was shaking in my ear on the ear that you're in, and it was just like going like, it sounded like a bzzz, bzzz, and I'm like, wait,
oh,
what's
you
going
heard
on?
That. Okay.
Yeah, so,
okay.
Yeah. Well, now they'll hear it on the recording too. So ladies and gentlemen, if you were listening on earbuds and your ear vibrated.
They'll hear it on the recording, will they?
Oh, wait, no, that's, well, it depends on whether it's on your track or not. That's right.
Well, you can get rid of it.
Yeah, it's in the middle of music and talking. I can't get rid of it.
No, I'm saying if it's in my track, because my track doesn't have your... Anyway, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. I'm good now, I think. I think it's plugged in, so we will see how it goes. Yes.
How it goes.
I'm surprised you didn't say anything, though, because normally you're like stopping the music and
I thought
everything.
It was me.
Like, what are you doing, Adam? What are you doing?
I thought it was me.
You were so enthralled by the cartoon on my lovely set behind me that you weren't even paying attention to whether I was sitting here or not. I was like, for most of that music, I was like on the other side of the desk.
I actually, you know what happened was like during the music, I realized that I didn't have the theme song. I didn't have my tablet. I hadn't even done anything with that. And so I wasn't even paying attention. I had turned away trying to find that. This is so exciting to everyone. Everyone is so excited that they have like downloaded this and put this into their ears. We're so sorry.
I'm fine, Daniel. Thank you for asking.
Oh, touche. You know, it is 9:27 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that can, of course, mean only one thing, Adam.
Buzzy is going to start meowing.
It's time for my cat to start meowing. He has been so cranky lately. I don't know what his deal is. He's just cranky.
I mean, look who his owner is.
No,
I
that's
mean, come
not.
On.
Come on.
Come on. That's, I mean, he's like...
I've had him for like 15 years. He's not... It's not...
He's like, I'm about due for an upgrade of owners, of, you know, masters, or whatever you want to say. Whatever a cat would call a human. An annoyance,
just,
maybe.
Yeah, he's just very cranky all of a sudden. He's just like, hey, you, human.
Maybe he misses your other cat.
Could be.
It's gone. So
I mean, she's been gone for, you know, almost 2 months now, so.
No. You never know. Now well, it means we're streaming live over at pride48.com, which
everyone
can come
over. Oh, you
know,
you're right, Adam. It does mean that that's what we're doing. That is absolutely what it means, Adam. It means we're streaming live on pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room. Adam, Who have we chased away from the chat room this evening?
Well, I won't know that because they're gone. We have less than we did before we started recording,
That's
though.
That's what I'm saying. We've definitely chased people away.
So we have Bert. We have That Blue Jeans Guy. We have Tim in Alaska. We have FL Mac, and we have RT Cruiser.
We chased away Lamont Cranston. We chased away
Maybe
Mark.
There was some disturbance in the force.
We chased away Joey Boonhecker. We've chased away Adele. I think Adele was here.
Adele Nazim or Dazim or whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you go. That's you're absolutely right, Adam. We are streaming live in front of a chat room. Hi,
so
chat
if anyone ever wants to listen to us live, because it's so much fun, you can go over to pride48.com around 9-ish, 9:15-ish on a Sunday evening. You know,
I'm usually here by 8:30. I'm here on
one Sunday. Daniel will be sleeping and I'll have to like text message him and he'll be late. And one Sunday I will have a perfectly valid reason for being a few minutes late. Not like the 20 minutes late that Daniel is always when he's late.
Always. How many times in the 17 years that we've been doing this show, how many times have I been late?
Wow, time flies when you're having fun. I didn't think I'd been podcasting for 17 years. I'm much older than I thought that I was. I don't know. I don't keep count, Daniel. I don't, you know, keep track of your wrongs. It's not like I have some leaderboard here saying, Daniel owes me.
As you pull out a grease squirt behind you. It's not like I don't right. have something here where I look at all these hash marks over here.
I don't put little smiley faces or gold stars or, you know, devil horns next to your name on a board behind me.
What do you use?
While the teacher is away.
Wow.
You remember that? Do you remember when you were in school and the teacher would have to go out of the room? And they would pick the suck up in the room to take names if anyone does anything. So they would go up to the board and like if you talk or do anything that you weren't supposed to do, they would write your name on the board for when the teacher came back. Did you have teachers that did that?
No.
And you have like it's always that, you know, suck up brown noser student who always like, you know, always raises their hand for every question and all that kind of stuff. They were the one they would go up to the front and take names.
Just because you raise your hand for every question doesn't mean you're a suck up. Just means that you know what the answer is.
Or you're a suck up.
Or you just know what the answer is.
But I was probably that person a lot of the time.
Now,
I don't know if I've ever taken names.
Not the way you just talked about them. You were just very.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, so Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Adam. You know what? I don't know if I can do this or not.
I bet you can. Believe in yourself.
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to do this. All right. I got this volume down. So I'm switching audio devices on something. So I want to see if I can play this, if you can hear this. Let me get to it. I'm going to back up a little bit. So let's see. Let's see if you can hear this.
Belf and keyed the release code for the cell. "You're in luck," he said.
Sounds like an
audible
book.
"I've got a meeting I have to be at." Williams pulled himself out of the cell.
This is the fourth book in a series.
Okay.
And I've listened to the previous three that were narrated by Jefferson Mays. And of course, this book came out in 2014, which is when Jefferson Mays was doing A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. So, of course, he wasn't available to do this book. And it was read by a gentleman named Eric Davies. He is so bad. Did you hear that? Did you hear? He's like so lifeless. He's just like, he said... And then he stuck his head out of the door. And then he said to the other person, it's just like, I've been listening to three books. What is that? Like 72 hours of Jefferson Mays reading the first three books in this series. Like amazingly, doing an amazing job. And it's like, and then you get to this place.
This is Audible.
Wait, sci-fi audio wait, and one click.
Hold on. Let me get to a.
Space Nazis, the old Koyo yelled. The Nazis aren't from space. They're right here among us.
See, now that's Jefferson Mays. He's into it. He's like, sounds like he's paying attention to it. And there's the other guy. He's just like a fucking zombie. I don't know what to do.
Well, I mean, you listen. Well, one thing you could do if you really can't get past the voice is you could buy the book and read it.
I can't read it while I'm driving, Adam. That is dangerous.
Well, No.
It's highly dangerous.
I'm not suggesting that you read a book while you're driving. I'm just saying, you know, You're a single guy. You just come home and like heat up a microwave pizza and eat and like play
Adam
games and like
Adam. I am so bad with dinner. There's like no food in my house ever. It's like every single dinner I go out and I buy. It's like I don't cook ahead of time. So it's like I could cook stuff and have it ahead of time, but it's just like, you know, I'm a single guy, right? If I cook quiche, well, now I've got quiche for like 6 days. It's just like, I don't necessarily want quiche for 6 whole days.
Mark and I don't always eat the same thing. So even though I'm not a single guy, if I cook something, a lot of times it's going to be something that I like and maybe he's not interested in, or vice versa, as you might say it. Yeah. Vice versa. I'm not sure how you say that.
So you know,
but anyway.
You know what I do? There's a Panera near here. Because it's that temperature now is just now starting to be fall. So it's like I've been eating their butternut squash soup for like for lunch and dinner for like almost like a week now. I get the soup and sandwich, like the half soup and the half sandwich or whatever. A little pick.
I love
there.
Panera bread. Except I think I've talked about this before on here. When I've gone to Panera Bread in the past, I go late in the day. I'm not sure, but they're always out of the kind of bread that I want. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, I want the chicken. Frontega chicken, whatever. And it comes on a special panini, whatever. And they're like, oh, we're sorry. We're out of those sourdough panini. Like every single time. Like, why don't you make more? If you're always running out of them, why don't you just make more of them? I don't understand it.
Oh.
But yes, I like.
Oh, I didn't. I forgot to plug this back in over there with the thing. I was going to.
Sounds like.
Oh. Here. Ooh, hold on. Let's answer the phone here. Hello.
Hey, Daniel and Adam. This is David F. Blue Jeans Guy calling in for the Celebrity Death Phone. Bill Nunn, who was in Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, as well as several of the Spider-Man movies and Sister Act, is dead. And I can't say anything else about it.
Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is dead? This can't be true.
Bill Nunn.
Bill Nunn. Bill Nunn, the Science Guy? I don't know.
N-U-N-N.
Was he like Bill Nye's neighbor or something?
I think he's another one of those character actors. If you look up the name, you'll recognize the face.
Yeah.
But he's not one that you would go, oh, Bill Nunn. Yeah, Bill Nunn. You know, him from...
Congratulations.
You'd never know. I mean, you'd have to... David, he's one of those you'd have to, you know, show a video or a face or something. But yeah, David, that Blue Jeans guy is becoming the new RT Cruza. Mm-hmm. RT cannot be bothered to call in anymore. So now I say that we're going to have 16 calls all about like, you know, janitors from Australia who died. And I'm not wishing 16 janitors death in Australia right now, but I was saying it'll be, you know, or some squirrel, you know, some Australian squirrel that, you know, was famous. He'll call in for that.
Is there what is it like Bruce the Australian squirrel? He's like, Bruce, hi, I'm Bruce the squirrel. It's
exactly. That's probably the
hey,
mascot.
Dingo, for, stay away from that baby. I'm Bruce the squirrel.
You know how we have Smokey the bear or the bandit or what? What is the bear that you can prevent forest
fires?
Yeah,
that's Smokey the bear. Have you seen his new like homoerotic TV commercials?
I don't think that I don't know unless you've showed them to me.
Generally, do yourself a favor, especially if you're a bear, Taylor. Go to YouTube and just search for Smokey the Bear TV commercials. There's this new one. And basically the concept of it is that some random hot guy in the forest does something to prevent forest fires. And he turns around and Smokey's there and gives him a big hug. And it's just like going like, you can get a bear hug, by the way. But it's just like, it's always the guy. And Smokey always is like, it's a couple out in the woods, but it's always the hot guy that Smokey comes up and hugs. It's kind of like that Amazon, the new Amazon ad, which has all the fashion models in it delivering Amazon boxes. It's like, really? Like a whole bunch of hot women? It's like, that is so misogynistic. It's like there's male models. Like, who exactly are you tailoring this to? Like, are a lot of straight guys buying fashion on Amazon?
Well, I think that a lot of straight guys I think a lot of guys in general shop at Amazon. So I think that seems like a geeky sort of guy thing to do is shop on Amazon. I don't think there are as many women probably demographically. It's kind of like when you work at a retail store and they're talking about the customer, you know, the customer, and they always say her. So we're modeling these shelves so that she will be able to easily find the product that she needs when she's doing her weekly shopping trip. You know, when she's got, and it's always she. And I was like, I'm always like, hey, men shop too. I shop. I don't send a woman out for me to the store. You know, what about him? What he might be looking for? So maybe Amazon's demographic is more straight men. Who knows? Could be. Anyway, Daniel, all that aside, because we have talked about 15 different topics in the past 5 minutes.
I don't think there's been 15. I think we talked a little bit. Let's recap. We talked about the chat room.
Yes.
Then we talked about Thundercats.
We did, yeah.
Then we talked about my horrible, horrible narrator of my story that I want to listen to.
Yeah, and your cat.
We talked about my cat. We talked about David, that Blue Jeans guy. We talked about Panera Bread, butternut squash soup, and Smokey the Bear. Look, Adam, we have not covered this. That's only eight. That's only eight topics.
We've got six more to go.
Half of what you said that seven. We talked about.
Anyway, I'm going out of order. So if anyone listens to Catching Up, you'll know that Mike and Joe like to do their stories, or at least Joe likes to do his stories in order. So I want to apologize to Joe Batance right now for doing my stories out of order.
He's not listening.
But he will listen. So whenever you listen to this, Joe Batance, I just want apologies right now. Or anyone that wants chronological life stories from Adam, because today I'm going to go backwards.
Now, could we get those chronological stories from you if we subscribe to Geeky Gay?
I don't know if they'll be chronological, but you'll probably hear something you didn't hear.
I heard one this week. You did a Geeky Gay this week.
I did, yeah. I'm trying to get back to doing it every week.
It won't last. But yes, I know you're trying to do that. What happens, Adam, is that you'll miss 1 week, and then that'll discourage you, and then you'll just be like, you're like a dieter. It's like podcasting is like dieting. It's like once you miss... Then you kill yourself with the self-doubt and everything. All of which is to say, podcasters out there, you know, if you miss a week, then you miss a week. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. Yeah. Well, they always say you need to be consistent to gain listeners, but, you know, whatever. So I'm going to go out of order. All that to say that. Yeah. So today we went to a movie. So my stepfather, my mom and my grandma are out of town, and my grandmother lives with my parents. So
But that's when the exact order that is the first story on the Trello. So how is this out of order?
I'm saying in my life, I'm going out of order, not on the Trello. That I'm going out of order. My life.
Right. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Hello, Daniel and Adam. This is David, that Blue Jeans guy, calling right in the middle of your show. In other words, pissing Daniel off to announce that Grand Ole Opry star Gene Shepherd has died at the age of, it would appear to be about 83 or so. So, Dark Knight for the Grand Ole Opry.
I don't know why that would piss me off. It's not like the phone rings. You know,
it doesn't.
That's actually a sound effect. Look, I can press the button. I make it's not when you call here, it doesn't actually ring on the show. I did a little behind the scenes/inside baseball.
You're ruining it for everyone. They think that the phone actually rings. We're talking and the phone just rings.
Congratulations.
She was the first solo female country artist or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, great.
So I was back to my parents. So my parents and my grandmother live in the same house, and my mom and my grandmother went out of town. So that leaves my stepdad by himself. Now, when he's by himself, he gets lonely and bored, and Adam has to babysit him at some point. That's just the way it works. Mom even text messaged me and says, you really need to do something with Steve while we're gone because, you know, he's going to get lonely or bored or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me the other night, hey, your mom and grandma are going to be out of town. You want to go to a movie? Would you and Mark like to go to a movie? So we had a really busy weekend. I mean, a really busy weekend, but I was like, okay, Sunday afternoon, we can do it. So he decided to go to Deep Horizon. I keep saying Deep Water. I don't know why. But uh-huh. Deep Horizon is the movie. It's got Marky Mark or Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And Goldie Hawn's daughter. I can't remember her name. Yeah. And some other folks. It's got Russell. No, he's married to Goldie Hawn, actually. Oh, her father, I guess. Kurt Russell. Thank
you.
Are you
thinking of Carrie Russell?
No, I'm not thinking of Carrie Russell, but it is, I think it's Goldie Hawn's daughter. Anyway, the blonde who, Kate Hudson. Is Kate Hudson in it?
I'm looking now. I don't know.
She is Goldie Hawn's daughter.
Mark Wahlberg, Kurt Russell, John Malkovich, Gina Rodriguez, Dylan O'Brien. Oh, Dylan O'Brien's in it. Oh, and Kate Hudson.
Yeah. Dylan O'Brien, by the way.
I want to watch it because Dylan O'Brien's in it.
He looks like my nephew.
Oh, really?
So anyway.
I want to meet your nephew.
So we went to this movie. So it's a good movie, and I thought it was a really good movie, but I get towards the end. So I don't want to spoil anyone, but I mean, this was in the news. It's a true story.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is based off of the Deepwater Horizon that blew up, blew up in the Gulf of Mexico. And then
An oil
proceeded
rig.
To put 2 billion gallons of crude oil into the Gulf. Yes.
Correct. And I'm watching this. And so, you know,
BP actually paid no fine for, but that's okay.
Well, we go to the movie and we sit down and everything. We're just, you know, catching Pokemon, waiting for the movie to start and everything. And I'm all happy, happy, joy, joy, everything. And then the movie gets into it. And, you know, the beginning's just kind of setting up the stories. They're all, you know, we're learning about their families and stuff. And they're getting on a helicopter with the big bad BP suits.
Yeah.
And they're going out and, you know, you meet Kurt Russell plays kind of the manager of this rig. And he's this gruff guy, you know, whatever. But then when the actual this is not a movie review.
A really gruff Kurt Russell kind of character.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah. I like those kind of characters, though. I mean, I know those actors are. It's kind of like that big, tall guy with the bushy mustache with the white hair.
Yeah. That talks with a southern accent.
Yeah, he lives in Montana. He basically plays himself.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I like those. Maybe they remind me of my father. So I don't know. Anyway.
Wow. So Kurt Russell is your father. Your nephew is Dylan O'Brien. It's like, you've got a handsome family there, Adam.
Yeah, exactly. So this is not a movie review, but the reason I wanted to talk about it and the reason I put it first is because it's a little bit of a downer rather than, you know, my normal stories that are very upbeat. You know, and happy. So they get to the part where things are blowing up and people are getting hit by shrapnel and, like, you know, bleeding, and there are people dying and jumping off of boats thing into flames. And And I start, like, I wouldn't say it was even sad. I start getting, like, almost having trouble breathing. I mean, not anything serious, but, like, just kind of feeling weird. And like,
you were having trouble breathing. How is that not serious?
Well, I mean, not serious, but not, I'm trying to figure out a way to describe this. It's not like I physically couldn't breathe, okay. But
so you felt, I was having, you felt, you had a tightness of breath. You,
yes,
felt,
I had a,
you were tense. You were very tense.
Yeah. And I was getting teary, but it's not the kind of like that when you go to an action movie, I mean, because this was a true story. And then I'm like, this is like, I'm really getting emotional and like having trouble sitting here and everything. And I got to thinking about it. And I think it was reminding me of the plane crash. Like, I never talk about the plane crash, and like, I'm never, like, I always say, oh, it's no big deal, whatever, whatever. Right. But I literally had to jump out of an airplane. Things were catching on fire.
Right.
People got burned, et cetera. Well, then they get to the part where, they are coming back. And they have this scene where all the survivors are going into this, you know, hotel, and they're all in shock. And like, there are these parents of people, and they're, at one point they push Mark Wahlberg against the wall. He's like, where's my son? Where's my son? You know, and all this. And he's just in shock. And Mark Wahlberg just breaks down at one point and is, and I like it, you know, it's almost affecting me now, but I was so affected by it. And then we get to the, because that's exactly like when we were, they had to drive out and get us from the plane, like in a buses, and like bring us back to, I don't even know where they brought us.
Wouldn't that have sucked if they, like, you would have had to take the trains and stuff at the airport? It's like, all right, come on in. Oh, you know, you got to go through security up there, and you have to wait for the tram, and it's just like going down the baggage claim and stuff, and, you know, with blood trickling down your face and everything.
Well,
what you're saying is if you experience a plane crash, they come pick you up.
Yeah,
they don't make you walk through the airport. They come pick you up.
We were not in the airport at that point. We had gone off into a field.
Hey, our bad.
Adjacent to the airport.
We'll come get you. You stay there. We'll come get you. No, you don't need to walk back here. We'll come get you.
And that reminded me of being bused back to, they didn't even take us to the airport. They took us to some.
Well, you know, they didn't want to scare all the paying passengers.
And I couldn't get my parents on the phone. So I had to finally call like every relative I knew to finally get someone to pick me up. But I remember the part where my mom finally got there. I was at my aunt's house
and I had been trying to sleep.
Did
she throw Mark Wahlberg up against the wall?
No, but I mean, you know, I was in shock, and that was the moment where I kind of broke down into tears and everything, right? So that whole thing just brought this back up. So I kind of got it back under control. And the movie was good. I mean, other than, you know, it's really sad because it's a true story and people died. And,
yes,
you know, but it was a good portrayal of that. So, and at the end, they have a nice memorial where they show the pictures of the people who actually died and put their names up on the screen and everything. So we go out and I think I'm doing okay. And we get in the car and Mark's like, man, that was a really heavy movie. You know, I burst into tears, like in the car, in the parking lot, you know. Wow. It was very traumatic.
I'm sorry.
And that has not happened to me, but I guess the thing that makes it interesting to me is I don't think that's ever happened to me in a movie. And this wasn't even a plane crash movie. Like, it's weird that it was, I don't, because I've been to movies that were actually plane crashes or planes blowing up in the sky.
But they probably weren't filmed. Like, when you see a plane crash on TV, you don't see the fire and the burning and everything. It sounds like this is more like the fire and the burning. So in other words, when you see a plane crash on TV, you see the plane crumbling apart or whatever, but they don't actually show, like, rarely do they show, like, people sitting in their seats with, like, flames behind them and, you know, like.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess it was the fact that it was such a realistic depiction and I related to how survivors feel for something like that, where there are explosions and things of that nature. And the fact that it was a real story. Whereas if you go to an action movie, you know, these are all actors and it didn't really happen and you know, whatever. So, I mean, maybe I'm okay now, but it was just interesting to me because I don't think a movie has ever affected me that way. And it was just weird that, you know, how many ever years later, that was in 99. So we're like, you know, what, 17 years since then. So there's my upbeat.
That's when we started podcasting. 1999.
Something like that. No, 17, I didn't start in 99.
Years. Yeah, 17 years we've been doing this show.
Right, exactly.
Dear God.
I was doing an away mission for the podcast that's the reason I was on the flight.
Wow. Well, Adam, I'm sorry. Here, hold on a second. Yes, hello.
Hello, Dubious Intent. This is C.T. Yaley, and I'm calling for the Celebrity Death Phone. It's kind of sad that John Michael Gray has died. And for those of you that don't go to Provincetown, Massachusetts, you probably don't know him as one of the Hat Sisters. The Hat Sisters was just these two guys with, you know, big salt and pepper mustaches and bushy eyebrows and hair, dressing up in gowns and outrageous, usually 2-foot-tall hats. And they would walk down the streets of Provincetown in the 80s, and that was a different time period, and it was a little bit more closeted, and it was just always very stunning to see them walking down the street. I didn't get up there until
Is he calling from a prison? Because every 30 seconds you hear boop, boop.
I think that's his pager going off.
This is a call from the New Haven County Correctional Institute.
I don't know, Daniel. I've never been in prison, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that sounds like.
No, because my TV is always on MSNBC during this political season, so it's like, and that's all they play on the weekend is Locked Up. So as I walk through the living room, because I'm stupid, I grew up in a house where the TV was always on, and so I'm like that as an adult. Even though I'm in the office playing World of Warcraft or doing something else, my TV is still on in the other room because I think it makes the cats feel better that there's noises and
stuff. Well, and because you're all alone, it makes you feel like there are other people in the house.
Now you make it sound weird. But anyway, my point is because Locked Up is on MSNBC, it's fresh in my mind. You know, it's like they were talking
Daniel,
about.
Daniel, because you are a cat lady, because you're a spinster. You're alone in your home with five cats.
Crazy cat lady. And I play a druid in World of Warcraft, a feral druid in World of Warcraft. So I'm running around in cat form during the.
Now, Daniel, do you lick your cats?
No.
Do you lick them?
I do not.
Okay.
Do I need to finish playing that? You know, by the way, I will give you that. I'm sorry, CD.
How can we not?
No, but I posted a picture in the chat room of the two Providence gentlemen that wear their hats. John Michael Gray. So Google John Michael Gray. He died of AIDS. That was him and his husband, Tim O'Connor.
Now, the story that I read said he died of cancer.
A light during the darkest day of AIDS. Hat sister John Michael Gray dies. You're right. It does not say that he... Let's see.
I read an article that said cancer, so...
Has died of cancer. Yeah, it says died. But you know what? No one actually dies of AIDS.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, why are we assuming that he had that?
The two men have been creating since the height of the AIDS crisis. Oh, I guess because they were AIDS activists. So that's... I just misunderstood the headline there. He died of cancer.
Could have, but we don't know that. It says cancer,
yeah,
so...
but he was an AIDS activist.
Well, congratulations... not to the person who died, but congratulations, Bill.
Yeah, to C.T. Yaley.
You get an entry.
You get an entry. I was reading, yes. I'm sorry, I was reading the story. I shouldn't have been reading the story. That's very bad form of me to do that. Anyway, so Adam, I'm very sorry that you got verklempt and emotional at the Deep Horizon movie.
It's a good movie. I mean, everyone should go see it. I've just, you know,
what,
there
like,
you go.
I'm on a scale of, let's say, 1 to Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Where exactly would that fall?
I would put it at a 7, probably. A 6 or a 7.
The only reason I say Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates is because on another podcast that I listen to, that you also listen to, Pod is my co-pilot, there's one of their co-hosts, Rodan, has the worst taste in movies ever. Like, he has the worst taste in TV shows and movies. Like, no, if he says it's great, I'm guaranteed to think it's the stupidest piece of shit ever made. And if he says he hated it, I'm almost guaranteed to love it, which is why it's so weird that he hates Finding Prince Charming, because I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that I should be liking this show? Because Rodan, you know, hates the show.
Well, he says he's hate watching it.
I know,
so.
Still. But I'm, yeah. He has literally said the phrase, Mike and Dave's Need Wedding Dates is the greatest movie of our generation.
Haven't seen that movie, so
I'm not engaging in hyperbole on that. He literally said that. And I know that they have changed recently the definition of literally to include the definition of figuratively when you say literally, but I am using the literal definition of literally before they allowed figuratively into the definition that he said that phrase. Thank you.
Wow. You are really impacted or affected by his taste in movies and television shows. I didn't realize that you were, you know, you felt so strong about Rodan's taste.
It's just sad.
I know. Well, you know, not everyone.
But here's the thing. I am so out of touch with what I guess is supposed to be good, because there was that Brain Dead, you know, series that was on, which was from the same people that wrote The Good Wife, the King and something. I forget their names. King, Scott King. Anyway, Brain Dead was amazing. That was such a great series. And of course, it doesn't get renewed because nobody watched it. In the meantime, like, Bull is getting great reviews, and MacGyver is getting good reviews. And I'm just like, these are so stupid. There's like no depth to any of these characters. And it's just like, 2.5 girls, or no. 2 Broke Girls is still on the TV. 2.5 Men was like the number one rated show. It's like, I just don't understand this universe that we live in. All of that being said, Adam, Survivor is knocking it the fuck out of the park this season. Yeah, I mean, we've only had 2 episodes right now, but this is easily on track to be my favorite Survivor season.
Well, it's just because they have the rivalry is a good one.
It is.
This year.
It is. It's a good rivalry.
You know, millennials versus...
Yeah, I like both tribes. I like and hate people on both tribes. But this past... excuse us for a moment. Wait, do I need to play Tribal Council music as we go into our Survivor recap here? But it's like, this previous episode, there's one
Previously.
Woman. Why is Paul Armstrong's mother on your TV screen?
Why are you so distracted? Just keep going. Just keep going. Just go with it. Just... keep talking about Survivor.
In the middle of Tribal Council, one single girl, Michelle, is that her name?
There are lots of girls on there, so I'm not.
The ones at Tribal Council.
Is she the one with glasses?
No, that's Hannah. I have to go find the. Anyway, but the point is this one girl manages to flip 3 different people's votes one of them at tribal council while Jeff Probst is talking to other people. She's like carrying on this other conversation. And she uses the phrase, I'm voting for Mira tonight. You should too. And then the girl's like, I need a reason. I'll tell you later. You mean like later, like after I've, and she bought it. That's how good this girl is. She got someone to flip their vote for the dumbest reason ever. It's just,
Well, I've never been a fan of the pretty popular people.
She's going to win. Anyone that can manipulate people to that level, she is definitely going to win this season. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't even know her name.
I know, but that's how good she is. She's so good, I don't even know her name.
I'm telling you, people, I don't even know her name, but she's going to win. Let me tell you guys, and I've probably mentioned this before, but the thing that gets me about these shows is I always go for the underdogs, probably because, and it's not that I was unpopular when I was younger. I wasn't like an outcast or anything like that, but I made it a point to distance myself from the popular crowd, from anybody like that. So I can't stand on these Big Brother and Survivor and all this. The ones that are the pretty popular, you know, in clique of people, you know, that are usually very vapid and, you know, not very smart. And they're just sitting around. They're just like doing push-ups all day long and like, you know, going around shirtless and everything. I'm like, oh, I hate those people. Hate them.
Her name is Michelle Schubert. She is a missionary recruiter from Washington State. This says it all. It's like Survivor contestant you're most like, Boston Rob, because of his puzzle game ability to lead people and to control decisions.
I hated Rob.
But
I think.
Yeah, he's won. He's like...
No, I hated Tony. Maybe I didn't watch the season with Rob. I hated Tony. Tony is my... Ugh. That police officer, Tony.
Oh, yeah, I hated him. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, and I knew he was going to win. Because anytime that I hate someone on Survivor, they win. So really, who's going to be auditioning for Survivor.
Hate? Who do you hate this season? Do you hate Michelle?
Well, I don't hate anyone
so
far.
You should
really
hate Michelle because she's going to win.
I don't really like, I don't like any of those, that clique. I don't hate any of them.
All right, but that clique,
I don't like
which one? So you're talking... Jay, Figgy.
The young, pretty
Jay,
people.
Figgy, Taylor, and Michelle.
Yeah, I would say. The ones that were kissing each other, and then like the best friend of the one who was kissing the girl, and then Michelle.
That would be Jay, who famously said, dude, couples never make it in Survivor. Yeah, tell that to Boston Rob and Amber. It's just like...
Well, couples hardly ever make it in Big Brother, but one of the couple made it all the way to the end this year on Big Brother. So,
that concludes our Survivor talk. Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi guys. Auntie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Get your hand off that buzzer, Daniel. Australian cricketing legend and author, Max Walker. Dead. Dead out. I don't know what he is. 68.
Bruce the Squirrel.
Okay, bye.
Unhand that book, you bloke. I'm Bruce the Squirrel. I'm just kidding. Sure, we'll give it to you, RT Cruiser, since you're in danger of being outplayed.
I know. He hasn't won very many recently.
I know. You've been being outplayed by David Zett Blue Jeans guy. Wow. So the other thing that I had on my little card here was that, did you watch Saturday Night Live last night?
No, I don't watch. Who watches Saturday Night
Live? See, I don't
Live?
Either, but they were going to recreate the debate with Alec Baldwin playing Donald Trump and the girl that normally plays Hillary Clinton. So that was the reason that I recorded it, because I wanted to see that. And they did that was a great skit. Alec Baldwin and the girl that plays Hillary Clinton redoing the debate with Bernie Sanders was...
I think her name is Kate something or other.
That was amazing. That was very funny. It's like easily their best stuff. Easily their best stuff. So I'm like, maybe I've just walked away from TV for too long. You know, when I walked away, Saturday Night Live really sucked. Maybe it's gotten better. I'll watch a few more of the skits last night. Adam.
It still sucks.
Here's what I don't get. This is what I don't get. I don't know. I mean, I watch Survivor. I watch a lot of procedural things. It's like, but when did everything become so fucking misogynist? It's just like, literally, they had four different skits last night that the punchline of the skit was, she has big tits. It's just like, what is the... You know what I'm saying? Like one whole skit where it's like an ugly guy married to a model girlfriend, and the news report was supposed to be about a sinkhole, but they were all kept talking about how improbable it was that this guy would be married to that girl. It's just like, it's just like, I hate that. I hate it so
much. Well, maybe that was, I don't watch Saturday Night Live, so I don't know. But I mean, they tend to have kind of themes to their episodes somewhat. So maybe because Donald Trump, people make that association with him that, you know, he's wealthy and ugly. But he's got all these, you know, because he's wealthy, he's got these model-esque or actual model wives, you know. I don't know. That may be going out on a limb, but I don't watch them every episode. I don't watch any Saturday Night Live, so I don't know what their skits are.
Oh, it was just,
normally.
Don't watch it. I'm sure Rodan loves it, but don't watch it. I can say this because Rodan doesn't listen to podcasts, so he'll never hear this. But someone in the chat room, Tim in Alaska, says that Boston Rob was on two different Survivors. Yes, he was. He was on Marquesas, which is his original series, and he was on All Stars. But I believe he was also on Heroes versus Villains, and wasn't he on? I think he was on four. He was on four episodes, four seasons.
Is Rob the one that does the recap podcast?
I'm actually reading this online. That's Rob. That's the other Rob, not Boston Rob. That's Rob. Oh, I know Rob's last name. Rob. Rob has a podcast. Rob Cesternino. So that's Rob Cesternino, who is a completely different person than Boston Rob. Anyway, Rob was on Marquesas, All Stars, Heroes versus Villains, and Redemption Island. He was on four. Amber was only on Marquesas, where they originally met. And I think she was on All Stars because she won All Stars. Anyway, there you go. Isn't that exciting? I said that was such a lie, and I didn't mean to skip the other people in the chat room that said that they hated Two Broke Girls. That would be David, Blue Jeans Guy. And then Rob and Amber were also on The Amazing Race, where they thankfully lost, said FL Mac. That was me reading the chat room.
Well, I told you that I've been really busy. And I have. We had a birthday. So Mark had a birthday.
I know.
On Tuesday. And
this was a big one, right?
No, it was. It was 31. It was just last year was the big one. So we did our... I gave him a gift and had a cake and all that, like midnight the night before his birthday, because he does that. So I have to do it because I have to like live up to what he does. So I'm like not less romantic than he is, right?
If you want to hear Adam agonizing about this, go listen to the Thursday episode of Geeky Gay.
So I'm not going to talk about all that, but his party. So last year was a big deal because like it was a milestone, and we didn't know who was going to plan it, but I was scared because I suck at planning a Filipino birthday party because I'm an American and I know how Americans do it. I don't know how, you know, and I didn't want to be responsible for like screwing up his 30th birthday party. So we decided to jointly plan it. So this year, again, we jointly planned his party, and I was going to cook all the desserts. And he was going to cook something, and then we were going to get some other stuff catered. Not catered is from Chili's, Olive Garden, places like that. I mean, not like, you know, we're not going to some foo-foo catering agency or something and, you know, going and like sitting down with them and, oh, let us bring you out the filet so you can taste it, you know. And, oh, we have a lovely squab that we serve, or, you know, an Arctic char that we will serve with on a bed of, you know, greens.
Adam, you live in Arkansas. Where are these people you're talking about?
We have those in Northwest Arkansas. Ask the friends of Joe Batanz who came to the film festival. They will tell you it's a very lovely area, and we have all of that. But we didn't. We just like went to Chili's and Olive Garden, and we did that. Well, I don't like to. His friends have chairs and tables, but I don't want to like have to drive to like five different friends' houses to gather these tables in and get the chairs. And the bottoms of them are, you know, metal. These are metal chairs, and they're like jagged and rusty and stuff like that. And we're going to be putting these in the house on our hardwood floors. And so I decided I'm just going to rent, because we rented some stuff last year. So I decided I'm going to rent chairs and tables. So earlier, like Monday or Tuesday, I called the place that I rented from, set that all up, rented three tables and 18 chairs, and I got wooden ones so they wouldn't scrape up the hardwood floors. And then, so, I mean, a lot of work went into this party. And then I took half a day off work on Friday, cleaned the entire house. Like, I Swiffered, wet and dry, vacuumed in every room, dusted the baseboards, wiped down all the baseboards, you know, cleaned all the mirrors, did like all this stuff. And then Friday, we spent all day. I cooked the three desserts. We bought a couple of more hanging plants to freshen up the plants outside because the flowers had died, as they do. I cannot have, flowers will not live for me. They live about a week. You either overwater them, underwater them, don't fertilize them enough, too much fertilizer, they're in the sun too long, not in the sun long enough.
You just don't have a green thumb.
No.
Okay.
But I did buy some vines, like potato vines or whatever. I don't know if they're, for some reason I'm thinking potato vines, but they also flower, but they're a little bit more.
I thought a potato was a root.
They're a little, maybe they're just called potato vine. Maybe they're not. I could be wrong, but my brain is telling me potato vine. But I had bought those like a month ago. They have survived.
Yes.
But the flowers did not.
Have you tried roses?
Roses are like the hardest
flower. No, actually they're not. Actually, this is so counterintuitive. Roses, when you get into really obscure hybrid roses that people breed and graft together and stuff like that, that's complicated.
You're like, Adam, have you tried orchids?
No.
Maybe you should go.
But just basic roses are one of the most hardy damn that you cannot fucking kill a rose bush. It's just like they're a perfect starter plant because again, these are not prize-winning roses that are like super weird, hybrids and everything. And these are not the kind that you would give someone a dozen of because those are a very different breed of. These are just regular, this fat rose bud. You know what I'm saying? Like the fat rose flower that comes out. It's like those rose bushes.
My grandmother, are they chrysanthemums? The big cotton ball looking flowers, but it's a bush. It's big. It looks like a big ball and it's got tiny little flowers in a big ball and it's a bush.
Okay.
And they're,
that sounds like a bush.
They're like your grandmother's, they're like your grandmother's flower. Regardless. So we did all that. I cooked, for the kids, I just bought a cake mix and made cupcakes with sprinkles. And I bought the icing and everything.
Now,
I saw
the pictures on Facebook and it looks like you had cupcakes.
Yes.
Some kind of cobbler.
Yeah. Mango and pineapple cobbler.
And then it said creme brulee.
Yeah. It wasn't in the picture.
But there was no creme brulee in the picture.
No, it was in the refrigerator. I put it out later. That was before the party, and I wanted the creme brulee to stay cold, so it was in the refrigerator.
Okay.
I have some creme brulee left. I can take a picture of a creme brulee if you'd like.
Can you just send me some? Because I love creme brulee.
Well, I'm really good at. I say that, but then I'll cook it for you sometime, and you'll be very judgmental because that's how you are. You'll be like, "Well, the creme brulee that I make is blah blah blah." But anyway, so yes, I made creme brulee. And it's actually fairly easy to make. I mean, it's a little temperamental, but it's not. I mean, it's a custard. You mix like egg yolk, cream, sugar, vanilla. Boom. Bake it in a water bath. So I made that. And then I've been doing all this stuff with foam core board recently. So I cut tags with foam core and I had a white pencil and I labeled everything. That's how you knew what everything was. The cobbler, I normally make peach cobbler. That's my like go-to cobbler.
Yeah.
And it has to be grandma's cobbler. It's the kind, not with the pastry crust on top of it, but you pour a batter. So you melt butter in your baking dish and then you put the peaches or whatever fruit on top of that and a little bit of sugar. And then you make a batter, which is flour, self-rising flour and milk. And I can't remember what else. And then you pour that over it. And then you bake it and the fruit rises to the top.
Yeah.
But the it's a cakey, kind of a cakey cobbler.
Adam? Next, see, we can't do this at Pride 48 because we don't have ovens and stuff there. But it's like I would go head to head with you in a cobbler contest.
I'm not saying I'm the best cobbler maker. You probably could win. You have a strawberry cobbler, right?
I make a strawberry cobbler.
I like peach cobbler, so I make that occasionally. But because these are tropical folks. I mean, I don't know if that's a good way to refer to them.
Right, so you decided to do pineapple and mango. Now, how did that turn out? Because that does not seem like that would be good.
They loved it. Everybody loved it. I did not actually get to taste it because everyone ate it.
Wow, so you didn't get to eat your own cobbler.
Well, I didn't. I mean, I had a little taste. I cut it into squares and put it out on trays and then put a little powdered sugar on top and a mint leaf on each one, a mint leaf. just for a little decoration.
Yeah.
But and I tasted a little bit. I thought it tasted good. This one, I found a pineapple cobbler recipe, and the only difference between a normal cobbler and this one was they used brown sugar, and they melted the butter and then sprinkled a half a cup of brown sugar on top of it, and then put the, like a pineapple upside down cake.
Yeah.
And then put the pineapple on top and then poured the batter over the top of that.
Yeah.
And I mixed the pineapple and mango. So it was good. I mean, it was good. I got really good reviews. And they all love mango is like their favorite thing.
Okay, great.
So there was no drama. I mean, I just wanted to, we set all that up. We cooked. Everything was beautiful.
Was there supposed to be drama?
No, but normally my stories, I try to, you know, tell something that's got some drama in it, you know, something, oh, I hated this or I hated that. Nope. It all went very well. Everyone loved the foods. You know, they were most impressed with my studio. Everybody that did the house tour, because it was housewarming and birthday.
Yeah.
So they did the tour of the house and everyone loved my studio. Like
the
they were all
Paul
like asking these questions.
Mom on the TV? Did you have yes. videos going?
Well, not right now. She's not there. No, I didn't. I didn't have the TV on. But and they liked the LED lights, the uplighting above my countertops.
Wow.
And the fall scenes that I did above the countertops.
Yeah.
You must have seen the photo.
I did.
On Twitter
you know,
or whatever.
My fall scenes here have more like baby dolls that are like laying on their backs with their arms up, like I've fallen and I can't get up. It's a very different kind of a fall scene.
And several of the women were like, oh, I want my husband to do uplighting like that on our countertops. Where did you take? Show me exactly the link to the Amazon, you know, to where you got those lights. So I was like having to tell people. And now to the part before the show that the people who were listening to the podcast don't know about. I needed to apologize to Tim in Alaska for something.
Oh, here we go. Tim in Alaska, are you ready to be apologized to?
Yeah.
Is there any kind of like music that you need to like go
well,
on?
Well, while you're looking for apology music, I will say, everyone, if you want to see what my house looked like all decorated for the party and to see the Filipinos, which Auntie Vera referred to as Trump's worst nightmare or something like that in the comments, I actually posted the photos publicly. Publicly. So if you look me up on Facebook, ask me how.
You posted
just look me up on Facebook.
What?
I posted photos of the party. And the outdoor looked beautiful. I hung little, as they would say in England, fairy lights. They're not really, they're just regular white Christmas lights. But in England, they call them fairy lights.
But you're gay, so they could be fairy lights.
I hung them on our trellis. Not the Trello.
Have
a trellis.
I was there. I understood. I understood what you were saying.
And, you know, had the lovely hanging plants and we had turned the fountain on and all that. It was very nice. Right, you can go over to Facebook and find out.
So what is it that you need to...
So in my posting, which I did publicly, and I tagged all of Mark's friends that I have as friends. Well, I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm playing... I was asked to play trumpet at a birthday party. Mm-hmm. Well, the woman whose birthday party I'm supposed to be playing trumpet for
yes.
was one of the ones I tagged. Well, Tim commented today and said, look, the house looks lovely, blah, blah, blah. Is this the one that you were playing trumpet for? Then I stupidly replied to his comment and said, no, not this one. I'm playing my trumpet for the party on October 15th.
Ah, yes.
And then Mark is like, Boyfie, you... put in your comments that you had tagged my friend that you were playing trumpet in a party on October 15th. And so I needed to delete both of those in case she has not seen them yet, because I didn't want any mention of trumpet seen in the comments.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying you did anything wrong, Tim. I'm just saying I had to delete both of those comments in case we don't know if she saw it. But because she was tagged in the post, apparently you're notified.
I thought it was a nephew that you were playing the trumpet for.
No, it's one of his friends.
Oh.
It's one of Mark's
friends. Now, is this the nephew that looks like Dylan O'Brien?
It's not my nephew. It's one of Mark's friends.
Oh. Okay.
So, and it's not a man. It's a woman. But anyway, regardless. So, Tim, I'm sorry. You didn't do anything wrong. But if you notice that your comment was deleted, I just... don't know if she read the comments yet, and I was trying to clear all traces of the trumpet because I did decide to actually play. I have no idea what I'm going to play. I'm going to get up there and like look like a jackass.
Oh,
I have no idea what I'm going
to
play.
The theme to Pokemon. Hey, do you, what is that? All right, you guys can't see this. But Adam has a little, what do we call this behind you? What do you call those?
What? I have lots of things
like
behind
the window
me.
Displays you... and things like that. What are they? It's like a not.
Well, I have a set,
not a diaspora or something, but it's like a diorama or something. You definitely, there's right over your shoulder is it says GG.
Yeah, geeky gay.
Oh, see, I was like, wait, you're Adam Burns, and it's like those aren't your last names. It's like you don't play esports because GG is a huge thing in esports.
No, Geeky Gay, that's the name of my podcast. I was at Hobby Lobby the other day. You would never guess it, but you know what? Hobby Lobby sells every different shape and size and material of letters that you could ever, metal, cardboard, plaster.
It makes me like so whatever. Sad that you go to Hobby Lobby instead of Michael's or Joanne's.
We don't have a Michael's.
Just because Hobby Lobby is basically like the Chick-fil-A of hobby stores.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't keep up with who's supportive of GLBT, whatever. I just shop. I probably should do better, but I don't. And I like Chick-fil-A and I eat there too. So there.
I just said, well, Chick-fil-A has tried to get better primarily because we like gave them shit, right? It's like, but the point is that, you know, Hobby Lobby has like dug in like, oh, we are a conservative Christian organization and we will not, you know, be, you know, whatever. I was trying to find the ending of a Heroes of the Storm game. And that is the GG. That in gaming, GG stands for good going. And so but in an esports game, like, you know, like in a regular sports ball game where there'd be like touchdown for the Clover Falcons or whatever they say, is like in esports, instead of saying touchdown, it's like they'll whatever the objective, the end objective of the game. And then they'll go GG. I don't, you know what? Never mind.
You're very distracted. I should do this from a room with just a white wall behind me with nothing. No any set decoration at all. It's very funny that I do an audio podcast and I have such a beautifully designed set, you know. But there you go. One day I'll do a video and it'll be worth it.
Wait, what will it be worth?
It'll be worth the fact that I have done all this set behind me.
I think they're going for the core here. It's like so weird because I'm like trying to find this where this would happen in the game. They're definitely, are they going for the core there? Let's see. The core, I'm watching the core power drop. Let's see. Wait, hold on. Let me turn the sound back on.
GG, nuclear war has come to the Nexus and we will see the Hordes taking game number one.
Hold on,
we said they could just rush in with their nukes. They want to try and end here. Felsen's all this left. War has come to the...
Wait.
He on his own. He has 27 seconds to wait. He needs to delay as long as possible here. Two nukes are on the way. Murin is on the way with the third.
Hold on. Shut up, people. Here we go.
Can't interrupt it. Here comes the second. And Felsen's dead. That is it. It is GG. Nuclear war has come.
It is GG nuclear. But some of the other ones are more emphatic about that. That was just happened to be one of them there. Anyway, I'm so sorry. I was just distracted by the GG because I didn't know what it was for. I didn't understand. But now I get it. It's for the geeky gay.
It is.
A podcast, by the way, that we tried to pimp on the very first Finding Prince Charming recap podcast. And you were just like, oh, don't go listen to that.
Well, I don't want people to get unrealistic expectations. I mean, it's a personal journal podcast.
Adam,
if you're interested.
They watched Finding Prince Charming, the worst fucking television show ever. They have no expectations of anything.
If you're interested in my life, you can go listen to it. GeekyGay.com or whatever. You can also search on your favorite podcatcher.
Okay, great.
So I was very busy, and then we were cleaning up today. Oh, one last thing, and then I'm done. I made a really good punch. I was so gay.
Hold on.
I was so gay.
How gay were you? Wait, hold on.
Yeah, hi guys. IT Cruiser Feathers Celebrity Death Phone. Writer Richard Trentledge. Songwriter Richard Trentledge. Dead at 87. He wrote a little jingle called the Oscar Mayer Wiener Song. Okay, bye.
Adam, can you sing the Oscar Mayer Wiener Song?
Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I'd really like to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
I'm so sorry. So sorry. Hold on a second, Adam. Let me get the phone here.
Hey, this is Mike in Austin, Texas. Sad day. Former Israeli Prime Minister. Oh, crap. Which one was it?
Shimon
Peres.
Shimon.
Passed away. Shimon Peres.
Hey, Adam, who was Michael Jackson's favorite Egyptian prime minister?
Shimon Peres.
Shimon. Thank you, Mike and Austin. Yes, you can get it.
You probably missed that again, but I actually had to run around the desk again.
I saw that.
Because
I saw it. Yes.
My recording, the laptop that I record, I'm out of breath. The laptop that I record
literally,
on.
Literally, your desk is like 3 feet long, and you ran around it, and you're out of breath from running around.
I know, and I just did Triometrics or something this afternoon. I work out every day. So I was so gay.
How gay were you?
I decided we needed a signature drink.
Wait, hold on, Adam.
You know these don't have to all finish in this segment.
Yeah, hi guys, Archie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Actress Agnes Nixon, star of Zoe's One Life to Live and All My Children.
What?
Dead at 88. Okay, bye.
Wait,
she wrote, she created some soap opera.
Star of Stupid.
She created some soap opera.
Yes, Adam, they do have to finish in this segment because, God damn it, that is how I eat things like on my plate. If I have a steak and I have like, let's say cream spinach, I will eat all the cream spinach and I will eat all the steak separately. It's like, I don't mix the things, and these celebrity death phones cannot appear in any other segment. God damn it. Adam, how gay were you?
Unplug and replug your USB, whatever, Daniel. And while you're doing that, I will. I was echoing back to myself right then. Now I'm not. So I may have recorded myself echoing back to myself. But so if you guys hear that, I apologize. But no, I didn't, because that's coming in on the channel that you're.
Oh,
never
this
mind.
Is fascinating.
No, never mind. So I thought we needed a signature drink, because don't all gay boys who are planning a party, they need a signature drink for their party. There.
You know, the three hosts of the RuPaul's Drag Race recap, we all have drinks named after us.
So I didn't go into naming the drink or anything like that. I just wanted a signature drink for the
party.
What
was your signature drink, Adam?
And pomegranate is very in for the past year or so. So I decided to do a pomegranate punch. So I found a recipe online. So you can do, and I did one for the kids. And one for the adults. We had those big drink containers that have the spouts on them,
so
or whatever.
The one
we
for
borrowed
the kids
those. We
didn't. Had out, it had vodka in it. And then the ones for the adults had more vodka.
So the one for the adults had sparkling Moscato wine and pomegranate juice and a little bit of sugar and orange slices and mint leaves.
Oh, dear God.
It was very good. No, well, I mean, you must not like sweet, sugary drinks.
Dear God, that sounds disgusting.
No, it was everyone loved it. I made like two batches of it, and it was gone by the end of the party.
Did everyone love, like if you asked them like to name a TV show that they like, would they say Two Broke Girls?
I don't know.
I'm just questioning the taste.
I love sweet drinks, Daniel. I love sweet girly drinks. So that's a very sweet drink. But when in my defense, when they have wine, they drink Moscato on its own. Like when we go to Filipino parties, they drink Moscato. And actually, that's my favorite wine also, because I like sweet wines. Riesling is okay, but it's not sweet enough. Like, I want something that's like Kool-Aid sweet.
Like, is your favorite brand of Moscato like Aunt Jemima? Is that...
Well, yeah, maybe. I didn't know that Aunt Jemima made a Moscato, but I would try it. Anyway, the other one was basically a lemon lime soda.
Get Sprite.
You know, since we're not getting any sponsored, you know, a lemon lime soda. This is how it was. And then the same other stuff. Pomegranate juice, orange slices, mint leaves, a little sugar.
Ugh.
If you like sweet drinks, it was very good. Both of them were very good. They also called for pomegranate seeds, but I couldn't find pomegranates, like fresh pomegranates. And also it was in those containers that it has a spout. So nobody would get the pomegranate seeds anyway. And they're not going to add much in the way of flavor. So I left that out.
Tim in the chat room is saying that Daniel's is a vodka martini with a cannabis extract. No, actually, the Daniel Brewer, according to the other two co-hosts on the RuPaul's Drag Race, the Daniel Brewer drink is a beer with a joint.
Anyway, I like sweet drinks, so it was really good. It was a hit. That's all
I have
to say.
I'm pretending like this doesn't happen. I'm trying to. Oh, that's just disgusting.
Why is it disgusting, Daniel?
Those tastes don't go together. It's like like Disney had come out with a new drink for the closing of the Tower of Terror, and it was called like the stomach drop or something like that. But it was basically it was horrible. It was like Midori and grenadine, which are not a good mix to start with, but then Bailey's Irish Cream like layered in over that. Now it makes a separated drink that's like, you know, looks like a brain hemorrhage, which is what. A brain hemorrhage, by the way, if you ever wanted to have a really cool shot, I'm sorry, I'm going off on this here. If you ever wanted to have a really cool shot at a bar, ask for a brain hemorrhage. And you're going to say to me, Daniel, what is a brain hemorrhage? So it's a shot glass, and you want to put vodka in the shot glass, and then you're going to pour some Bailey's Irish Cream into it, and the Bailey's will actually make like a little ball in the middle of the vodka, and then you take a straw, and this is very important, take a bar straw, and you get it right near the top of the little ball of Bailey's, which is suspended in the vodka, and you trickle in grenadine really lightly through the straw so that it makes little red veins on the Bailey's that's in the middle of this, and it looks like a little floating brain with blood on it. It's really, really cool. But it's disgusting to drink because Bailey's just doesn't mix with things. That, Adam, is what I think you're...
All right, well, tasting. It tasted really good, so there you go. And it was very popular. It was very popular.
I think maybe people are just being really nice to you. Like, oh, no, it was delicious. Like, did you check the garbage cans after? Like, was the mango and pineapple cobbler, like, in the garbage later? Then they were all, oh, it was delicious.
No, it wasn't. They all ate it. I watched them eat it. I stood there and watched them eat it. It was very good. It was very good.
News game. It's time for a news game. It's a news game. What headline will he make? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the segment of the show where Adam will read me three. Count them three. Count them three. Count them three headlines. Only one of which is true, by the way. Two of them are completely and wholly made up. Wholly made up? Are they wholly made up, Adam?
None of them were made up by me.
They're cut from whole cloth. They're fabrications. They are not true. It'll be my job to use my amazing powers of deduction to figure out which one of the headlines is in fact true. Adam, what is our first headline this evening?
You know, Nico Martinez in the chat room makes a very important point before I go over these news headlines. Daniel, people are allowed to like things you don't.
No, they are not.
You know, there are some jobs that require someone who's a know-it-all and thinks they know everything and their opinion is the best. You should really be doing that job, whatever that
I should,
is.
I should be running for president.
Something.
I should be running for president. That clearly, I see the light now. Donald Trump has paved the way for me.
I have a signature drink recipe for you, Adam, that's much better. And it's huge, I tell you. It's huge. All right, first headline, dandelion root kills 98% of cancer cells in 48 hours.
Wow.
Headline number two, man bitten on penis by venomous spider for the second time. And number three, study shows Fukushima radiation causes 100% infant mortality among orca whales.
Wow, 100%. All right, so we have dandelions cure cancer. So do you have to eat them or smoke them or snort them or do we know? Or
I think it's dandelion extract.
Extract. So maybe. All right, so dandelion extract can cure cancer.
Maybe they vape it like you do.
That's
with
probably
your...
They could. Let's see. All right, so dandelions cure cancer. And the radiation is killing orcas, 100% killing baby orcas. And what was that? There was another one. What was the other one?
Man bitten on penis by venomous spider for the second time.
A man bitten on his penis by a venomous spider for the second time. All right. Adam.
Yes, Daniel.
I'm going to go with man bitten on penis by a venomous spider the second time. For the second time. Tell me one of the fake headlines.
Study shows Fukushima radiation causes 100%.
See, I knew that. I knew that because 100%. Yeah, whales. That was too good to be true. 100%. So now I'm left with dandelion extract, or I don't know. Like, let's call him like what? Like to be bitten by a spider on your penis. Like, was there like a knot hole in a tree that was just the right height or something? It's like. A storm drain, some kind of opening, some kind of dark opening that he felt compelled to stick his penis into. Or I have to believe that dandelion extract would cure cancer, which seems like that would be huge news. That seems like I would see that on the TV if, in fact, cancer had been cured. Like, there would be, like, huge headlines, you know, online and in the papers saying that cancer had been cured. So I'm going to stick with the improbable truth of a man being bit twice by a poisonous spider on his penis. Adam, which is the real headline?
All right, the real headline is man bitten on penis by venomous spider for the second time.
Yes, yes, that is absolutely correct. I can't wait to hear about this, but first I have to do this thing that you require me to do contractually, which is to switch the music over to this other thing. That Adam, at the appropriate musical cue, tell me the real story.
A 21-year-old Australian man has been bitten by a venomous spider on his penis.
He's 21. So he must
be
hot.
For the second time.
He must be hot if he's 21.
In 5 months. According to a report, I'm the most unlucky guy in the country at the moment. The man who only identified himself as Jordan told the BBC.
Have you ever met anyone named Jordan that wasn't hot?
No. Jordan, a tradesman, was using a portable toilet at a worksite building in Sydney Tuesday when the redback spider bit him on pretty much the same spot he was bitten the first time in the same location while going to the bathroom. He says, quote, I was sitting on the toilet doing my business and just felt the sting that I had felt the first time, he told the BBC. I was like, I can't believe it's happened again. I look down and I've seen a few little legs come from around the rim. I was kind of wanting to know, you know, which rim he saw the legs, you know, going out from, because it could be the rim of his hole.
Oh, he is hot.
And, so... apparently, he had been bitten 5 months earlier.
Oh, honey, I would also suck your dick for free. You don't have to go get bitten and, like, have someone suck the poison. I would do that for you.
Also, yeah, using a portable toilet. And he said, and this was the other thing. He said this was the first time that he had used the portable toilet since the last time he was bitten.
Oh, don't use that toilet.
So I don't think he's ever going to use a portable toilet ever again.
Wow.
So that's the story.
Nico wants to know, why does it matter if he's hot or not? Because his penis was bitten by a spider. And RT Cruiser says that he's Australian. We're all hot.
I wonder if he now shoots like silk web out of his
dick. Think maybe this has turned him into Spider-Man?
Yeah, like, but like a weird porn version of Spider-Man, you know? So it's a little bit different power.
Excellent. Well, that, Adam, is the, as you have just said, that is indeed... the news for the week. And because I was able to correctly identify the real headline, that means we get to use my birthday song, which is this.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yeah!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
the Doobies and Tent birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue for someone famous's birthday and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words. We'll figure out whose birthday it is. Adam, what is our first musical cue this evening for the birthday segment?
Well, let's see if you can hear this because I haven't tested this out. And so we'll see if you hear it. If you don't, we'll try again. So here is our first musical cue for tonight. And I don't hear it, so I don't think you would be hearing it. Oh, come on. Whoa. Huh?
This is fascinating.
Ah, dang it. Okay.
People aren't going to know on the podcast that there was actually like 20 seconds of silence between every time you said, oh, dang it, and gosh, and I can't hear that. Because when the truncate silence filter hits, it'll literally just be you like going like, here's your first thing. Oh, gosh, dang it, darn, I can't hear it. Oh, shit, oh, darn.
Well, you could just edit that out.
No, I don't edit.
Oh, you could.
Well, yeah, but I could stay on a diet and lose weight, but I don't. I heard a thing.
I'm working on it.
Oh, I heard that.
Okay. Let's try again. Shall we?
This is Let's Get Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
But you don't even give it any time, do you? Yeah,
I gave it like 6.5 minutes, Adam. It's like, yeah.
It wasn't 6.5.
It's
Olivia Newton-John. She is, how old do you think Olivia Newton-John is?
She's older than me, I think. She's like 57?
She's 68 years old.
68 years old.
Yeah.
Good for you, Olivia.
All right. And I don't know if she re-released. So I watched two different versions of that. And the second version, there's like a completely naked guy at the front. Or maybe that was always the way it was. I'm not sure the video for it. But I don't know if she re-released it because there were two different videos on YouTube and one was more recently. I don't know. All right. Anyway, happy birthday to her.
Maybe she needed to make a car payment.
Maybe. Here is our next birthday.
I didn't know this. I told you everything I possibly can. There's nothing left inside. I don't know this.
Okay, I have one more song.
All right, give me another song.
One more. But I'll never forget the way
you feel right now. Oh, no. Is this the same person? No way. And I would do. Same person. Wow. Because this one sounds so much worse than the other one. He's like straining to hit that music. I don't know who this is. I know these songs, I just don't know who it is. Is it Peebo Bryson?
No, it is not Peebo Bryson.
Who is it?
It's Meatloaf.
Oh, it's Meatloaf. Yeah, see, I like maybe if you had played the one from Rocky Horror, I might have known that. But no, I'm not a big Meatloaf fan.
Meatloaf, of course, has had a career for quite some time.
I was
going to
say, he was popular when my sister, who's 15 years older than me, was young.
Yeah, so the first one was when he was younger, and this one is from when he was a little bit older, so that's probably why his voice doesn't sound as good. Anyway, he's 69 years old. All right, and here is our third birthday. And there's only one song for this, but I think you'll get it. She was working in a bridal
shop in Flushing, Queens, till the barber kicked her out in one of those crushing scenes. It's the name. What was she to do? Where was she to go? She was out on her fanny. I never watched this show. But I'm familiar with the theme. She was there to sell makeup for the father's home. Because it was jazzy. So yeah, it was the nanny. Is that Fran Drescher? Is it Fran Drescher's birthday?
It is Fran Drescher's birthday.
Excellent.
Yeah, she's not done much that you would know since The Nanny. She did play a voice on that Transylvania animated movie. Yeah.
Was she on The Match Game?
I haven't seen her on The Match Game. I've been watching it.
She should be on The Match Game.
She is 59 years old.
Wow.
Yep. All right, here is our next one. I hope this is the right song.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun.
Really?
You find the fun and snap, the job's a game.
That's not a snap, though. That was more of a
and boom. Every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake. A lark, a spree, it's very clear to see.
I'm amusing myself.
That a
spoonful of sugar
helps the medicine go down. That's probably, I'm probably out of sync with our two tracks on that, so I apologize.
And we were not in sync with each other either.
Right,
I was singing
too. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is Mary Poppins. That is from Mary Poppins. Yes.
It is.
From Mary Poppins. Is there another song or is it just the one?
Well, there was, but I was running out of time and I apparently didn't put the link here. So if you can get it in
one. Yeah, it's Julie Andrews.
It is Julie Andrews.
Julie.
The other one I was going to play was... These are a few of my favorite things.
From the Sound of Music.
The Sound of Music, yes. Julie Andrews, who tragically lost, I don't remember why. Was she in an accident or something? But she lost her voice at some point or had throat cancer or it was probably throat cancer because I think she was a smoker. I don't know. But she can't sing anymore. That's all I know. So Julie Andrews is 81 years old.
81 years old.
Yeah. And here is our last birthday.
It was, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It was an ill-fated throat operation.
Okay. Well, something. She had nodules
range,
or something.
Yeah, her vocal range has since been reduced to that of a fragile alto. Yeah. Anyway, I'm so sorry. Go ahead for our last
it's
thing.
It's okay. Let's say all of this and worse, but if I ever knew.
It's so weird because I know this song. Like, I could sing this song, and I'm trying to think, is it a police song, or is this a Sting song, though? That's the question.
I would have told you that this was a Peter Cetera song for some reason. It sounds very Peter Cetera.
Sting. But I don't know if it was from his solo or whether this is from the police. I'm going to go with Sting solo. Is it Sting solo?
Well, it doesn't matter. You're going for whose birthday
it was Sting's birthday.
Yeah, it was Sting's birthday.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Sting is 65 years old.
You have like daddy issues or something? You're going for like the old ones this week.
That's just all that there was this week.
Is there no like young guy that had a birthday this week? No young person that had a birthday this week that you could have like tried to trick
Not with
me
a
up?
Theme song. Not with a theme song
Nobody
that would
on
be
YouTube
recognizable.
Nobody had a birthday this week. It's like, there wasn't like Philip DeFranco or anybody like that you could have like, played like a... You could have had Mark record something and then just played me Mark saying stuff.
Well, that's true. I guess I could have played that. But no, those were the... You know, there's always that little problem because I have to pick someone that, that has a song that would be recognizable. Otherwise, it's not fun for people playing along. So, you know, it just happened to be all old people this week. It's not always, you know, sometimes Miley Cyrus or Adele or someone like that has a birthday. Let's see. Okay. Tell you what, I'll play this one and you can tell me who this is. It's not the guy who sings that.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah. It's a guy named C.N. Morin.
Oh my God, it's C.N. Morin. How did I not know that? That's crazy. Yeah. Were those our birthdays for the week?
That's our birthdays.
That's all we had. I know we had some over on Pride 48. I wonder what they might be. Huh. Anyway,
I don't know. What are
let's
they?
Find out. Looks like on the 29th, it was Chrissy from Nowhere. On the 30th of September, we had a happy birthday to Vance. And there you go. That's it. Because we say things after the fact. So I'm sorry, Hendrick and Gavin. We're not giving it away that your birthday is coming this week. If you'd like to have your birthday listed on the Pride 48 website, make sure you sign up for a free account and click on the little check button that says, yes, I'd like to have my birthday listed on the website. Three. Excellent. Adam, it is the segment of the show where we read our voluminous emails and numerous voicemails.
I don't know if we have time, Daniel. Why don't we just pick one out of the hat?
Yeah, we are. We are running late. I guess we should just pick one because, Adam, you know, we have thousands and thousands of emails that we have to go through. I think we should. Oh, you know, here, Adam, we've won an award. Should we read that email? I think we should. I think
I think we should. I think so.
Yes, that's right, Adam. We have won another award. We are possibly one of the most award-winning podcasts on the Pride 48 Network. I'm pretty sure at this point we are. Having taken home the Without Mentioning His Name award, which was earlier this season, I've forgotten the name of the other award that we got. I don't know. Best in Show. I think we got that award from Gus Chad. Last week we had another award. What was it? Why are you not writing these down?
I don't know.
Adam, we need to know these awards that we've
won. Must I do everything, Daniel? Must I?
Yes, Adam, you must. How long have you been doing this show with me for 17 years? You know I don't do anything. I would like to just add to our long list of accolades the Glamper of the Year Award, Adam. The Glamper of the Year Award is given to the glamper who has demonstrated unselfish acts of generosity during September of 2016. The recipient this year displayed his extraordinary humanity by selflessly donating a used tent to a stranger at a gay campground. The tent was rumored to be worth an impressive $115. And while it is true that the camper only vacated the tent when it was good and ready and actually presented the gift through an intermediary, we applaud his generosity. And rather than keep this kind act to himself, he spoke about the incident at length on his podcast so that we could all learn from his example. The winner of the Glamper of the Year Award goes to Daniel Brewer. Congratulations, yes, yay. I would like to humbly accept this award on behalf of the Doobies and Tim podcast. I believe, Adam, you and I know, it's been our motto of this show since the day we started, that we should always, always brag about our kindness. I'm pretty sure that's like, it's, you know, like, if you look at the logo that we gave away those stickers to, it says in real small print right around there, like, always, always brag about your kindness to others. And that's our motto. We like to live by that. So we'd like to add to our long list of awards the Glamper of the Year Award that we have received. I can't believe you didn't write down the previous awards.
I'm sorry.
It feels like, Adam, it feels like, and I don't want to go there with you, but it feels like maybe your heart isn't in it. Maybe you just don't care about these awards in the same way that I do.
Well, actually, in my defense this week, you won the award, not me.
What are we listening to? What are we listening to? We're listening to the Dubious Intent podcast starring Daniel Brewer and Adam Warren. If I win an award, the podcast wins an award. If you win an award, Adam, the podcast wins an award.
And I'll be happy to accept an award for me on behalf of Dubious Intent whenever I win one.
Oh, my God.
I could win the throwing a wonderful Filipino party with a fantastic signature drink award.
I've heard stories about your birthday party that maybe...
And the mango pineapple... Upside down cobbler.
I'm just saying, Adam, I heard maybe the birthday party wasn't as good as you thought it was. I've heard grumblings.
Well, everyone loved it. Everyone loved the party.
Anyway,
I know.
Let's just get out of this.
3, 2, 1.
Wow.
As far as I know,
I would just like to apologize to everyone. I'm just in a weird.
Just pre-record that because you really tend to do it every. Episode. Apologize for the show.
No, I've had a very weird energy. I don't know. I just haven't been really hitting the notes tonight. I haven't been. It's like I knew things were bad when I came into the chat room tonight. And the first thing I saw was Dante has given voice to Daniel Brewer. Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line at 229-234-7587 or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com.
So, there you go. So they are all wanting to vote for an award for me. If you just email contact@dubiousintent.com,
you know, any of you,
and tell
you,
us what award I want.
Or if you
want
to call in and present the award, we'll play the award music behind it. We take our awards, let me just say, I take our awards very seriously. I know Adam dismisses them, but I take them very seriously. I want them on our website. I want them prominently featured. And Adam can't even be bothered to write them down because he's too consumed with his good going.
I've been busy planning parties. And
I've been busy masturbating.
Going to movies with my stepfather and crying.
Good night, Chet.
Gnashing my teeth. Good night, David.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.